Now we're holding on page Samach Ches in Rosh Hashanah, Ois Ches. We actually started Ois Ches the other day, but we may as well go over and start it and start from it and start it again. Three books are open in front of Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. Echad shal tzaddikim gemurim, the echad shal rishoyim gemurim, the echad shal benim. So you have three books, one for the tzaddikim gemurim, one for the rishoyim gemurim, and one for the benim. Shal tzaddikim gemurim, the one of the tzaddikim gemurim is the people in there are written and sealed right away l'chaim for life, and this is why since we don't want to assume, like we talked about the other day, we don't want to assume that a fellow yid is in anything other than that safer, which is why we only say the shana tov because of the sechosim the first night of Rosh Hashanah, and after that we say gemar sima tov or other such things like that as we go throughout the month of Tishrei, because we don't want to assume that his chasima should have to be postponed any time after the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The one of the Rishoyim Gmurim is right away written and sealed for Misa. The ones in between are suspended, they're in suspended state from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. And if during that time they're Zoicha, then they do Tshuva, they do more Maisim Tovim. Yom Yaakov points out particularly if they do Chesed with other people, which therefore causes Hashem to reciprocate with Chesed towards them. So then Nichtavu L'chaim, Loi Zoicha, and if not, Nichtavim L'misa. Which is why you have in Shulchan Aruch, a practical thing that comes out from that in Shulchan Aruch, is that people are Nizher to be, people try to improve in their Maisim Tovim throughout their Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It mentions, for example, in Shulchan Aruch, even you have people who the rest of the year eat pas akum, eat pas palter, then on Aseres Yemei Tshuva, they try to be careful with that. And similarly, with other kinds of things that a person might not be so careful with during the year, a person tries to improve in that from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. You have, by the way, as far an interesting thing as far as Kiddush Levana. Our minhag, and the minhag of many other kehillas, is to only do Kiddush Levana after Yom Kippur on the grounds of doing Aseres Yemei Tshuva. We're not in a happy frame of mind, and after all, to be mechabel pnei shchina, we should be, but they're actually minhagim that do the other way around. Fakir, do it during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, if at all possible. That way, you have one extra schus coming into Yom Kippur. We started talking about on Thursday, what do we mean over here by the tzaddikim, beninim, and rishoyim? After all, you know, we see many times, and you know, we're saying over here that the tzaddikim are written for life, but the maisa, we see that there are many tzaddikim who don't make it through the year, and vice versa, we see many rishoyim who do. So there's a lot of different explanations. Tosfos explains that we're talking about tzaddikim, that we're talking about chaya olam haba. So we're not talking about the Eivishter writing and signing and sealing them for Chaya Olam Hazeh. That is going to vary based on other factors, but rather Chaya Olam Haba. Then you have another explanation from the Ramban that we're not so much talking about tzaddikim as in like a Tanya tzaddik or even like what the Velt thinks of as a tzaddik, like somebody who's free of Averus. But rather somebody who's tzaddik b'dino, you can have, the Alter Rebbe mentions on the second page of Tanya, you have a person who, in and of himself, he's far from a tzaddik, but he's tzaddik b'dino, when it comes to the particular judgment, then he ends up coming out righteous from it. You even have the pasuk that says, v'noki v'tzaddik al tara, in Parshas Mishpatim, where Rashi mentions over there that, for example, you have a person who by rights should have been convicted by Beis Din, and for whatever reason, they ended up exonerating him, so he's not, tzaddik is a nish, but he's far to noki, so therefore don't bring him back to Beis Din and rejudge him, and vice versa if they judge him guilty when really he's innocent. So we see a person can be called a tzaddik even though when he's only tzaddik b'dina, he's only a tzaddik as far as what that one thing. So the Ramban says that's what we're talking about over here. Then you have an answer that the Rif talks about here at great length, which actually the Ravid said it long before him. Apparently the Rif did not have access to the Chiddush HaRavid on this. Anyway, the gist of it is that you have the Gemara mentions in Yuvamis Machloikus when the Pasuk says Es Misper Yamecha Amale, that we learned a few days ago that it means that Hakadosh Baruch Hu Amale Shneisem Shal Tzadikim Miyom Liyom. But primarily, the Gemara says over there it means that Hashem has decided when a person is conceived, when a person is born, how many years he's going to live. And so you have Machloikus over there. Doesn't mean that's the expected amount, but Hashem could add more if he deserves it, or is it okay? That's going to be the maximum no matter what. But he can lose years from it if he doesn't deserve it. So following that, the Rif explains, and the Ravid explains at length, that what we're talking about over here is, Hashem has decided that a person is going to live, let's say the Eibishter has decided in advance that a certain person is going to live to 80 years old. But now, this year, Hashem decides, well, does he deserve to make it to 80 after all, or should he be cut off before that because of the way he's been acting? And on the other hand, the Eibishter might decide that no, you know what, whether because he has in fact been doing mice in Tovim, or for whatever reason, or just because his time's not actually up yet, then therefore, no, he can still have he can still have this year. And therefore, so that's how you come about that you see that Tzaddikim pass away during the year, and Rishoyim don't, because the Tzaddikim, it'll be the one where their time that was originally given to them in Hashemayim is used up. And again, according to one man to Omer, there's no adding to it. That amount that they were given is the maximum, and that's that. So you have different. So in short, you have different explanations of what we're dealing with over here. And then you also have explanations along the lines of that the chayim and the opposite that we're talking about over here can refer to yisurim. You can have a person, for example, that the Eibishter has decided that he needs eventually to have his place in Olam Haba. However, if he's done certain things that he shouldn't have, and if we don't clean them up in Olam Hazeh, then he's going to be lacking something in Olam Haba. So therefore, the Eibishter writes him down for the opposite. For the coming year, he's going to have yisurim, and that will help clean things up, and vice versa with the sefer chayim. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Abahu, Rav Avin, my cross." What's a pasuk that expresses this idea? That we see all these three svarim. The pasuk says, "In Tilim, David says about his enemies, Yimachu Masefer Chayim, may they be erased from the book of the living. Vim Tzadikim Al Yukasevu, and they should not be written with the Tzadikim." So what's the double expression? Yimachu Masefer Zesifer and Shol Rishoyim Gemurim. When he says they should be erased from the Sefer, means the Sefer of the Rishoyim Gemurim, in other words, that they should just be, they shouldn't even need to be written in there, it's just they're goners, that's it. Hashem just shouldn't even need to judge them. When it says Chayim, Zesifran Shal Tzadikim, the word Chayim then refers to the Sefer of Tzadikim, they shouldn't have the schos to be written in that. The Tzadikim, Al Yukasevu, Zesifran Shal Beinanim, and then the Sifran Shal Tzadikim, the Tzadikim, Al Yukasevu, refers to the Beinanim, which, by the way, one of the explanations is that Bechlal, so you have, in other words, not just that Tzadik can mean Tzadik Bedinoi, and Rosha means Rosha Bedinoi, but also you have the Tzadikim Gemurim, of whom, after all, there are very few, and Rishoyim Gemurim, of whom there are also very few, and the vast majority of people fit into the status of Beinim. So therefore, so for that purpose, to that extent, they can be called Tzadikim, and therefore, that's, David refers to that by saying the Sifran Shal Tzadikim. So explains at some length over here that the tzaddikim and rishoyim we're talking about over here respectively. He says the tzaddik means he's basically a tzaddik, but he did something b'shoigig, after all, in tzaddik baritz, asher yasa tov v'lo yechta, so therefore then there has to be written down something about that, and vice versa. The rishoyim, we're talking about the ones who are actually doing averus deliberately, and then the beinanim are the ones who are doing b'mezid, but not rebelling against Hashem. The Rishoyim would be the ones who are doing out of rebelliousness. The beinanim would be the ones who may even be doing b'mezid, but not out of rebelliousness. And then he goes on and explains. So with the tzaddik, we're saying no matter what the actual gzera is in terms of his physical living or dying, either way, it's for his chayus and olam hazeh, and the Rishoyim vice versa. And then you have the beinanim, who were saying that Hashem waits from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur to see what's going to happen. If there's Zoicha, so they're written, he doesn't say, now Maharsha points out, doesn't say by the Beinim Nechtomim, it doesn't say that they're sealed, because he learns that eventually they are sealed, but only on Yom Kippur. So when he says Zochun Nichtav L'Chaim or Zochun Nichtav L'Misa, he learns that apparently they would eventually be sealed, but only on Yom Kippur, unlike the other groups who we said are sealed on Rosh Hashanah. We talked about on Thursday what Pnei Yeshua says on it, but actually he says no. We're going to talk about soon in the Gemara about how Hashem has rachmanus on certain people and mata klape chesed. Hashem inclined the scales towards chesed. One way of understanding is that's talking about the judgment on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore that, in other words, the beinanim, Hashem does tilt the scale towards chesed. But nevertheless, since chesamah shal hakadosh baruch hu emes, Hashem's seal is truth, and to judge him with chesed like that is not truth. Therefore, it can't say nechtamim on it, because that would contradict. Hashem can't sign something which is not absolutely emes, and if he judged such people with emes, then they'd be in trouble. So that's another reason why it doesn't say Nechtomim by the Beinim. Anyway, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omer Mehacha. And Maharsha, by the way, goes and then darshins several of the other psukim over there in that perek. The Maharsha likes to do that. A lot of times when the Gemara will bring a pasuk about something, then Marshall will explain the context of the few psukim before and after it, how those demonstrate that the pasuk is talking about what the Gemara is darshining in connection with. Before you have the psukim, before the pasuk, Yimachum Sefer Chaim, you have Ki Atar Shei Kisa Radofu, the pasuk, David is saying, the one whom you hit, you Hashem hit a person because he's doing Averas, and they chased after him to try to make things worse. So meaning, in other words, that he's saying that you hit me with Yisurim for the things that I did amazing. They're trying to harass me even more. So they deserve to not even be treated as Beinonim anymore. Up until this point, they may have had Mechtes Choyos and Mechtes Avonos. Now, count this towards them that they're also harassing and persecuting me, and now they'll end up being like the other Rishoyim Gemorim. And so the Pasuk Yimachum Sefer Chaim actually refers in context to such people. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says you have another pasuk where also we see about the three books from this week's parasha. Moshe asks after the Chet Ha'egel, v'im ayin mecheni no mesifah parasha kasavta. If you don't forgive the Jewish people, erase me from your book that you wrote. Now we're all familiar with that it means that Moshe is asking to be erased from the Torah, and in fact his name is missing in last week's parasha, and we have the famous sticha about it where the Rebbe talks about that Moshe was willing to give up his atzmus for the sake of the Jewish people. But here Rav Nachman Yitzchok is taking the word sifracha and many of the mefoshim on the pasuk also do to mean these books, that so to speak, the metaphorical books in which Hashem writes down people, in which Hashem writes down people's ma'asim and their verdicts. So Mecheni knows a sifran shor shoyim gemorim. So when Moshe is saying erase me, he means I shouldn't even be in the sefer of the shoyim gemorim. If you don't forgive the Jewish people, misifrachos a sifran shor tzadikim gemorim. Your book, like the one that you have the greatest interest in, is the one of the tzadikim gemorim. Asher kosavta, which you have written, is a sifran shor beinanim. That refers to the one of the beinanim, which is only written at the beginning and not yet sealed, unlike the other ones. So again, Moshe is asking, according to that, that Hashem should erase him from all three books, meaning that he's not going to continue living, Parshat, if he doesn't forgive the Jewish people.
All three, only one.
So he's saying all three. That's why that Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying you have all three Sforim hinted at in that pasuk. The same way as the pasuk in Tillim hints at all three Sforim. The same way that Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying Moshe's words, "Vim ayin neschenin on the sifra kasher kasavda," also refers to all three svarim. Okay, the Gemara continues. Tanya, v'shama oimim gimel kitas hein liyemadim. There are three groups of people. There are three groups of people when we come to the Yom HaDin. Now, Tosfos explains that Yom HaDin over here, Rashi and Tosfos both explain it means by tchias amesim. Meaning, in other words, that it comes out, and the Ramban explains this in particular in a sefer called Shaar Agmul, a person is judged three different times. You have a person is judged every Rosh Hashanah, and to a certain extent, as we learned before, every day. Then you have a person is judged after 120, when their neshama goes up. And then a third time, they're judged La'osid Lava by Tchias HaMeisim. They bring up the question, so what's the purpose of the third one, if after all, the second one already covered everything during his lifetime. So there's a number of different answers, one of them being that often you have the effect of what a person did during his life continues after he passed away. So therefore, that has to be factored in as well. You take, for example, the Gemara is going to give later on an example of Yeravam ben Nevat. What he did wrong lasted for hundreds of years after him, and to a certain extent, it has an effect even now, the fact that there was a golus because of him. On the other hand, you take, let's say, a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu or any of the other great tzaddikim in history, down to and including the Rebbe and others, that you consider that long after they're not in Olam Hazeh Hagashmi, you still have that their effect still continues positively, and that has to be factored in when it comes to Tchias HaMeisim. Anyway, so Beshrama is saying that L'Yom HaDin. What? Ben Mizak, Bro Mizak Abba, you have the father, son can be giving schusim to the father, you have a Talmud can be giving schusim to his Rebbe, you have all kinds, and then you have, you can have a person can be a Talmud hundreds of years later and he still has an effect, yeah. Think of it, you know, we still all learn the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu has been, it's 3,000 and some years that he's gone, and still he keeps on accruing schusim every time that we learn the Torah that he brought to us. So yeah. Okay. So the Shamanim Gimel Kitas Heim L'Yom HaDin. When it comes to that Yom HaDin, then there's going to be three groups. Echad Shal Tzadikim Gmurim, Ve'Echad Shal Beinanim, Ve'Echad Shal Rishayim Gmurim. The same three groups that we said before. So actually, Maharal Shor says that it's not really exactly the same thing, because again, before we were talking about the judgment on every year, Rosh Hashanah, here we're talking about the judgment by Tchias HaNesim. So before, the judgment, in other words, was, is he going to live in Olam Hazah this year, or is he just going to live in Olam, in Olam Haba, in Gan Eden? Here we're talking about, it's too late for them to get any more schusim. Misha Torach be'erev Shabbos, Yoichal b'Shabbos. So at this point, we're talking about it's too late for them to accrue any more schusim. Therefore, that's why we're going to say that the Beinanim are going to have to spend a short period of time in Gehenna. Unlike we're saying, in other words, but when it comes to the annual judgment on Rosh Hashanah, a person can clean himself up between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But once it comes to Tchias HaMeisim, then as the Pasuk says, as it says in Masechta Shabbos, the Giyus Shonim, years are going to come, Asher Toimar, when you're going to say, Ein li bahem chayfetz, I have no desire in those years anymore. And the Gemara says that refers to the Asid Lavoi, because at that point, it's too late to do mitzvahs anymore. So the Shammai continues, Shal Tzadikim Gmurim Nechtovim Nechtovim Wa'alto L'chaya Olam Haba. So the Tzadikim then are written and sealed right away for Chaya Olam Haba. Which, by the way, what we mean by Olam Haba is itself a whole discussion among the Rishonim, which we've touched on before in this chair. You have the opinion of the Rambam that there's Tchias HaMeisim, and then after that, eventually everybody's going to die, and there's a world of only Neshamas. You have the opinion of the Ramban that says that no, after Tchias HaMeisim, people will continue to live forever, and their Gufim will be on a higher Ruchniyistika level so that they won't need to eat and drink. Chassidus agrees with that one. Anyway, so Tzadikim and Gemurim are going to be judged for that. They're going to be written and sealed immediately for Gehenna. Rashi, by the way, points out, Rishon Gmurim means Rubam Avonis. They have mostly Averis. So we're not even talking about that they're 100% Rishoyim, but apparently the fact that they're, according to Rashi at least, the fact that they're mostly Averis is enough to consign them right away to Gehenna. And Maharal Shor says, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, within them you do have a difference. Some of them are eventually going to come out of that and have Tchias HaMeisim, and others of them are going to remain in Gehenna much longer term. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'rabim Mishene Admas Ofer Yokitsu, many of those who are lying and sleeping in the dust of the earth are going to wake up by Tchias HaMeisim. Eila L'chaya Olam, these, meaning the Tzadikim, are going to wake up for eternal life. The Eila and these, the Rishoyim, L'charofis, will be for humiliation, L'diran Olam, for eternal disgust. People are going to look at them constantly and be disgusted by what happened to them. Meanwhile, Beinanim Yodim LeGehenim, the Beinanim go down to Gehenim, or Mitzatzefin, and they fly out there from the Yisurim for a short amount of time, V'olim, and then they come out of Gehenim. So they needed to go into Gehenim for a short period of time to clean up their Averis, but then they're brought out of it. That's how Rashi explains that Mitzatzefin means they cry there because of their Yisurim. However, Maharal Shor says no. Mitzatzefin means they praise Hashem. They while they're in Gehenim, then now they realize the emes, because that's a lot of what Gehenim is. So that a person's averus are burned off, and their nefesh elikis shines forth, and they realize what the emes is. So therefore, they praise Hashem, and then Hashem takes them out of Gehenim, and they've accomplished what they need to. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ve'evesius Ashlishus Ba'esh Vavemer, Hashem says, I'll bring the third group into fire, and that third group, we're understanding, it means the Beinanim. You have the Tzadikim, the Rishoyim, and then you have the Beinanim. So no, we're not necessarily talking about Beinanim according to Tanya, but Pashtus, the same way as Rashi had said, Rishoyim Gmurim means Yerubam Avonis, the Beinanim, but Pashtus, then according to that, would be the ones who are half and half. With that said, again, the Gemara is going to bring further on, the Gemara is going to bring a distinction within Beinanim themselves. It depends what type of Averis they have that are their half Averis. The Gemara is going to make distinctions further on. So Vegeses Ashlushas Be'esh Vegemer, Hashem says, I'll bring the third group into fire, and Hashem says, I'll refine them like you refine silver and gold, and then he continues, Hu Yikra Vishmi, he, meaning that group, will call out in my name, Vani Ena Oise, and Hashem says, I will respond to them. So therefore, they're the ones who, according to Rashi, they're crying out from their Yisurim in Gehenim, and that accomplishes the cleaning up that they needed, and now Hashem can take them out of Gehenim, and they can enjoy Chaya El Mabba. And according to Maharal Shor, the vote is, that they're singing to Hashem there in Gehenim, realizing that everything Hashem is doing to them is just and is fair, and then Hashem brings them out of that. So that's that third group. Va'aleim Omra Chana in her tefillah after Shmuel Amelvi was born, she says on them, Hashem meimis u'machayev agomer, Hashem kills and brings alive, and she continues, murdered Sha'ol v'yal, Hashem brings people down into Sha'ol, which is one of the names of Gehenna, and brings them up. So we see that there are people who are brought down into Gehenna and brought up. And since she mentions Hashem meimis u'machayev, then we understand that this is taking place at the time of Tchias HaMeisim. So she's saying that there are such people, says this Shammai, that at the time of Tchias HaMeisim, they're going to have to undergo a spell in Gehenna. So that's all according to this Shammai. Or Beis Hillel disagrees, and they say no. When the pasuk says V'rav Chesed, one of the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim in this week's parasha is V'rav Chesed, that Hashem is abundant in kindness. That means Mate Klape Chesed, Hashem tilts the scale towards Chesed. So the person is half and half. Hashem tilts the scale towards the side of Chesed, and therefore they get judged as tzaddikim, and therefore they don't need to go down into Gehenna. Valeim Oma David. In fact, on them says Beis Hillel, David HaMelech said the Pesukim in Tehillim, Ohavti ki yishma Hashem es toili. I love when Hashem listens to my voice. Valeim Nemra Kol Parsha Kula. And on such people, it says that entire parasha where it continues. For example, it continues with the word Daloisi, the Li Yehoshia. Daloisi, I was poor. I didn't have enough mitzvahs, and yet the Li Yehoshia, and yet Hashem saved me by having Rachmanus on me. By Mata Klata Chesin. Tosfos says, that's Tosfos' first explanation. Tosfos' second explanation, the word Daloisi can also be Miloshin Doloi Dola, like to draw water from a deep pit. So Daloisi, I need to be schlepped out from the deep pit. Vali Yoshia and Hashem save. Tosfos continues. You have the next part, the psukim after that, continue. Shuvi nafshilim nechoichiyah, and it's halach lifnei Hashem ba'artes hachayim. So all of that is talking about the kindness that Hashem does to them. Shuvi nafshilim nechoichi, my neshama, return to your rest, ki Hashem gomal aloichi, because Hashem did you an enormous favor, namely, that's what Basil is saying, the enormous favor, that the gomal aloichi is that Hashem tilted the scale towards chus on their behalf. And therefore, it's halach lifnei Hashem ba'artes hachayim. Now we're saying, now such people are able to say, I'll walk before Hashem in the lands of the living, meaning in Gan Eden, meaning in Olam Haba. Maharsho says that actually, Maharsho explains differently than Tosfos. He says no. First of all, Tosfos is saying Va'aleim Oma David is referring specifically to the Bain, according to the Sillo. Maharsho says no. Va'aleim actually refers to all three groups. The Bainanim, and the Rishonim Gemurim, and the Tzaddikim Gemurim. So it starts off with the Benyamin. Mahavti ki yishma Hashem kol tachnunai doesn't just mean I love it. If that were the case, it would say ritzoni, I desire that Hashem should listen to my tefillos or something like that. Ahavti means I am beloved by Hashem when I daven derech tachnunim, when I daven to Hashem in a sincere way where I'm pleading with Hashem, then Hashem answers kol tachnunai and Hashem shows with that ahavti that I am beloved by Him. And he continues, and he goes through and douchens in the psukim over there. Kehita Ozno Li, Hashem, so to speak, inclined his ear to me because I'm only whispering my tefillah as you're supposed to. So like Hashem, so to speak, has to bend his ear to hear it. Over Yomai Ekra, and I call out during the specific days, during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. Afafuni Chevle Mavis, and here I have a Benini, and I would deserve as a Mazed to be suffering all kinds of Yisurim, and because of that sort of a Yogan Emsa. But I'm actually happy, he says, Emsa means I find them, meaning I appreciate them, because I realize that these Yisurim are cleaning up my Avedis. Over Shem Hashem Ekra, and then I'm calling out to Hashem, and then we have that Hashem saves them, and as it says, Daloisi v'li Yoshia. Then he goes on to say that tzaddikim are represented with the words of Hashem Hashem Ekra, means that I'm called by the name of Hashem, refers to the tzaddikim, where they act in the way that Hashem does, mahu rachum, mahata rachum, and the rest of those midas. So therefore, they are called after the name of Hashem, and therefore they, such people can say, on Hashem malter nafshi, save my neshama, and chanan Hashem betzadik, and Hashem has rachmanus on them, and says that, and then, and sure enough, and saves them, and gives them chaya olam haba. And then it goes on and explains, and then explains each of the psukim over there, how we see there are psukim over there that refer to the Beinanim. Then you have psukim that refer to the tzaddikim, shuvi nashalim nechoyfi, and then you have you eventually get to the Rishoyim. Hemanti ki adaber. I believe in Hashem when I speak. Ani onisim oid. I believe that there's going to be an Arutzis Achaim, that there's going to be a Tchias Amesim. Meanwhile, the Rishoyim deny that. And Ani omarti b'chofsi, kol ha'odim, Ani omarti b'chofsi, I thought in my haste, you know what, everybody's going to be Zoricha Te'olam Abba. Then I realized, no, kol ha'odim kozim, kol Yisrael Yashlem, Te'olam Abba. But not kol ha'odim, not kol ha'odim, not all people. So therefore, so he explains how that whole half of the kapitel refers to everything that we're saying in the Gemara over here about the tzaddikim and beinanim and rishayim and what happens to them when it comes to the judgment, loss of love. Continues the Gemara. Poshei Yisrael b'gufan. Now you have Jews who committed aveiros with their bodies, which we'll learn later on is a karkafted lemanach tefillin, a person who did not wear tefillin. So therefore, so it's called, Marashah explains, they're called Poshei Yisrael b'gufan because it means that they failed to keep a guf naki and therefore they weren't wearing tefillin. The point is that the tefillin represents that a person is connecting his ruach and his neshama together. So therefore, so now what happens is the ruach is lower, the neshama is higher, so the neshama is able to elevate the ruach, and therefore the person, after all, the person has nefesh, ruach, and neshama, the neshama, which is the highest of those three, is able to elevate the lower levels that's represented by wearing tefillin, so therefore the person is able to come to chaya and mabba, whereas if he doesn't do that, then you have the other way around, it gets schlepped down. So poshei yisrael b'gufan, or poshei akum b'gufan, as well as goyim who committed aveiros with their bodies, which the Gemara defines later on means ones who committed znus, yodim l'gehenim, such people go down to gehenim, v'nidonin b'gehenim, and they're judged there in gehenim, v'nidonin b'yurbeis chodesh, they're judged in gehenim for 12 months. In general, 12 months is the maximum amount of time in general that an Hashem spends in gehenim. We know we have a halacha that comes from that. We have the minhag that you only say harei kaparin kaparas mishkova after a parent or a rebbe for 12 months. But second of all, that you only say kaddish for 11 months, and all minhag is even one day less than the 11 months. So you're not acting as though your parent was a rosha. I believe there are, by the way, poskim who've said that if a person's parent was a rosha meforsam, then they should indeed say kaddish for them the entire 12 months. But it's obviously not a very widespread thing. The derech klal, I mean, even we're talking about kakat, leimanach tefillin, you have nowadays, with the whole concept of, nowadays, that you have most people, if not all people in that category are tenoikas shenishbu, then of course it's a whole different ball game than what we're talking about in the Gemara over here.
Just one day, or
no, so actually we'll talk about that tomorrow, Best Hashem, because I don't think we're going to get to that piece today. But there are different mafoshim on it, whether it means that he never wore tefillin or whether it means that he missed it sometimes. We all know in Lubavitch jargon, you have the word tarkafka that comes to mean somebody who never put on tefillin. That's following the mafoshim who learn it that way. But we'll talk about tomorrow, Best Hashem, that there are mafoshim who learn that it means that he missed it sometimes. Anyway. So, la'acha yudbeis chodesh, after 12 months, gufan kola, their body is used up, their body is destroyed, v'nishmasam nisrefes, and their neshama is burnt. Now, usually a neshama is a ruchniyistika thing. How is it possible to burn it? But, so Marsha says that actually we're referring to the body over here. So when we say gufan kola, and then nisrefes, we mean that the body is going to be burnt and is going to be destroyed and burnt. Not in the neshama, because the neshama is a chelek of the kami ma'amam, she can't really be burnt. The ruach mefazartan, a wind scatters them. The nasim efer tachas kapis ragle at tzaddikin. They become ashes under the feet of the tzaddikin. Shenemar, as the pasuk says. As the pasuk says, va'asoisim rishoyim, the navi says to the tzaddikim, you will trample the rishoyim to you efer tachas kapas ragleichem. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet. So one idea is, in other words, that there's an explanation that's brought in from one of the Talmidim of the Arizal that says the vort is, in other words, so the tzaddikim metaphorically are going to be standing on the ashes of the rishoyim. Now, when you stand on something, it makes you higher, makes you taller. So that represents, in other words, the rishoyim are not complete goners, that they still have some connection with the tzaddikim in the sense that the tzaddikim are able to become elevated through what happened to the Rishoyim, and therefore that itself gives a certain schus to the Rishoyim that therefore they're not complete, therefore they're not complete goners, especially put together with what Marsha says over here, that their neshamas are b'chalal not destroyed, only their bodies. This is, we're talking about the time of Tchias Amesim, yeah. So that's what it's saying. According to the Rambam, there's a Tchias, everybody agrees that it's Tchias Amesim. It's one of the basic things of Yiddishkeit, but the Rambam holds that Tchias Amesim is not the last stage. After him, there comes a point when everybody dies, and there's a world eventually of only neshamas. But even according to him, there's a Tchias Amesim before that, and that would be when this kind of thing is taking place. We mentioned, by the way, in this shiur before, a letter that the Rebbe wrote in Tafshin Gimel or Tafshin Dalet to a chassid in Newark, Reb David Stockhammer. He was one of the early supporters of the yeshiva in Newark, which is now the yeshiva in Morristown. His daughter is married Mentlik, and then Katz, and I forget who, and I forget who the third one was, Ziskin, whatever. He was a chassid at the time. So at one point there was published a maimer from the Friedrich Rebbe that talked about Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelik Lamabah without exception, even though on the face of it the Mishnah there in Sanhedrin mentions various exceptions. And this Reb David wrote to our Rebbe asking for clarification. What happens to what we're going to say in the Gemara over here, that there are people who are judged in Gehenna with Dura Duras? What about it says over there, and gives a whole list. And the Rebbe replies back with a letter saying, essentially, that when you consider all of the different exceptions that the Gemara carves out for it, then you find, really, it comes out that literally, lo yudach menu nidach. You have a person, like we said before, for example, like you said, you have a person whose children give him a schus that he didn't accomplish during his lifetime. You have, it can be his talmidim. It can be even somebody who had no direct connection with him, but is somehow mushpa from him, or somehow takes him under his wing, and then takes responsibility for him. The Rebbe gives an example over there of Rabbi Yochanan taking responsibility for the neshama of Acher, which we'll get to eventually when we get to Masechta Chagiga, and we'll talk about that, for example. Then you have, even if not, you can have this Gilgulin, so the neshama can be nisgaugel again, and therefore it can correct what it messed up the first time. So therefore, ultimately, you may have, and there may be in some extreme examples, you may have where the guf has been so corrupted that particular guf can't come back, but nevertheless, the neshama is still there, and the Shama will come into another goof, and then that will come alive at Tchias Amesim. So basically, you look at that letter over there, the Rebbe's not giving up on anybody. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, Avalat Tzdukim, but Tzdukim, or this is really a censor's change, it's really supposed to be Minim, where Minim is, there's different definitions Tosfos refers to, there's a Gemara elsewhere that discusses what exactly is the definition of a min, but in any case, the Rambam defines it as, it includes a person who has any of various wrong beliefs about the Eibishter himself. So a person, for example, who believes that there's no God, or that there's two gods, or that he has a body, etc., all those are in the category of Minim. V'hamasoris la'anosim, people who maser on Jews, on their momen or on their body. La'anosim is, again, it's changed from the censor. Masoris just means people who maser on Jews to goyim. There is, of course, a good deal of discussion in Sifrei Halacha, in contemporary poskim, about what are the parameters of it nowadays, especially when nowadays we live for the most part under democratic governments, and it's not like in the olden days when they just judge people however they felt like, and when you have it when a person is a danger to the community, and so on and so forth. So a lot of ink has been spilled on when it's allowed and when it's not allowed, but in any case, there is a concept of a moser, or moser really is how the Gemara calls it, where he masers on another yid inappropriately, and then the Gemara is going to say that he gets a very severe punishment. This is actually going to be discussed in Daf HaYomi in a couple of days, Bez Hashem. Anyway, so then, v'ham mumrim la avodah zarah, and when mumrim, again, la avodah zarah is a change from the censor, it means people who converted to another religion, Rahman al-Islam, or are worshipping avodah zarah, v'hapikursim, so we had the hapikursim, which the Rambam defines hapikursim as people who don't believe in one of the other basic things of Yiddishkeit. So for example, a person who believes the Torah wasn't given by Hashem, or that Moshe made up parts of it on his own, or whatever, would be in the category of an apikoros. What? Rashi says mevazet tamid chacham, which is another definition that the Gemara brings in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The shekofu b'Torah, people who deny the Torah, for example, they say, Rashi says that they say ein Torah min hashamayim. In fact, Maharshal brings from that Gemara in Sanhedrin that says even if a person says all of it is min hashamayim, except for one pasuk, is also in the category of kofrim batorah. People who deny tchias amesim, and by the way, Rashi in Sanhedrin mentions over there, it's not enough that a person believes in tchias amesim, he has to believe that tchias amesim is in Torah Shebichsav, which the Gemara there in at the beginning of Perek Chelek brings a whole bunch of proofs from the Torah for the concept of tchias amesim. So Rashi over there actually says that if a person believes in tchias amesim, but he doesn't believe that in Torah Shebichsav, would also be in the category of kofru with tchias amesim, although worth mentioning, the Be'er Sheva says over there that that's not necessarily so, and he says that Pirush may not even be from Rashi at all. So whether if a person believes in Tchias HaMeisim, but he doesn't believe that it's in Torah Shebichsav, does that put him in his category? In that category, depends whether you follow the Be'er Sheva or not. Anyway, then you have people who separated themselves from the way of the Tzibur. Now, Rashi takes out those words, because he says all of the ones we mentioned so far are Pirushim Midachet Tzibur. They're all separating themselves from the way of Jews. Jews believe in the Torah. This guy does not. Jews don't master on other Jews where it's not a clear and present danger, for example, and these guys are, and so forth. So there's no reason to mention Pirushim Midachet Tzibur separately. On the other hand, most Rishonim do have the Girsa, and the Rambam, for example, defines Pirushim Midachet Tzibur. We're talking about a person who believes in the whole Torah and everything. But when it comes, for example, a Tzara on the Tzibur, he says, okay, it's none of my business. They can be fasting and davening and whatever for it, and I'll just go my merry way, and I'm not worried about it. That would be an example. That would be what means over here, according to the Rambam, Pirushim Midachet Tzibur. Anyway, and people who put their fear in the land of the living, that's an expression taken from a pasuk in Yechezkel. Later on, the Gemara defines that it means that they lord it over the tzibur, shaloi l'shem shemayim. So you have a paroness, you have a somebody in charge, you have a leader of the community. Sometimes he has to treat them very harshly because he's doing it l'shem shemayim in order to make sure that people are not getting away with things they shouldn't. But sometimes he's doing it just for his own cupboard. That's what we mean over here by chnosnu chitisim be'eretz achayim. The expression is taken, you have Pesukim and Yechezkel that talk about various Goyishan nations who sent marauding armies into Eretz Yisrael to terrorize everyone. So that's the original context of the pasuk. But here the Gemara is going to explain again. It means matol eimi yisera shalo l'shem shemayim. Anyway, v'shachotu v'shechtiu asarabim. Also, people who are chotiu machti asarabim kagoyin yirovam and nevot v'chaverav. For example, yirovam and nevot and other people like him. All of those groups, which Maharsha, by the way, says, they're in the category of mumurim l'avodah zarah as well. They also worship avodah zarah. But in other words, they get a double whammy of it because they were both over avodah zarah on their own and they were chotiu machti asarabim. So all of those, Yod and the Gehenim, such people go down to Gehenim, v'nidonin b'l'dorei doros, and they're judged in Gehenim for generations upon generations. Shenema, as the pasuk says at the end of Yeshaya, we have it in the Torah of Shabbos or Shodesh, the Yotzu v'ro, people at the time of the third Beis HaMikdash, will go out, which is after Tchias HaMeisim, will go out and see the figure ha'noshim ha'poshim v'gomer, they're going to see the carcasses, the dead bodies of the people who rebelled against Hashem. And as the pasuk says, "Telatam loisomus ve'isham loisichve." So Gehenim kolah v'heim enim kolim. Even Gehenim will come to an end, and their punishment will still not come to an end. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "V'tsuram levalis shoyl mizvul loy." Their form, Maloshan Tsura, Levalis Sho'ol, will wear out, in other words, will outlast Gehenim, Mizvul Loi, because of the Zvul, because of the dwelling place of Hashem. Now, Maharsha wonders, how is that possible? If Gehenim is Kola, then how are they Nidonim L'Dor Yodoros? Where are they afterwards if Gehenim is gone? There's a number of answers on that. Yad Yosef brings over here an answer that based on the famous Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Motzi Chama Minautika, so even after there's no more Gehenim, then still they'll be burnt by the intense heat of the sun where that'll be there without a shield. The Aruch HaNeir gives a different answer. He says there won't be a Gehenim for them to be punished in, but they're still going to be. They're going to have the constant embarrassment that the Tzaddikim are getting their reward, and they're standing by the side and not, and that's going to even outlast Gehenim, the Gemara is saying. So v'chol kach lama, and why are they going to be punished so severely? L'fisha poshtu yadeim b'zvul, because they stretched out their hand against the zvul. Shenema mi zvul loy, as the pasuk says, from the zvul of his. The ain zvul on the base of Mikdash. The word zvul means the dwelling place of Hashem, meaning the base of Mikdash. Shenema, as David says, as Shlomo rather says, when he's dedicating the base of Mikdash, bonid bonis the base zvul loch v'gomer Hashem, I made you a base zvul. So we see the word zvul means the base of Mikdash. So here we're talking about all these groups that we talked about before. They caused the base of Mikdash to be destroyed through their aveiros, Rashi says. And Marsha adds that so you have the ones from the first Beis Mikdash, for example, the ones who worshipped Avodah Zarah and were kofar in the Torah. You have the Masorim and the other one who were involved in the Churban Bayis Sheni, an example being Bar Kamsa. And then also the Aruch HaNer adds, you have the famous thing that it says, Kol Mishaloi Nivne Beis Mikdash B'yamav, Ki V'nechra B'yamav, a person that the Beis Mikdash wasn't built in his times, considered as if he's destroyed in his times. So therefore, people who do these things, then it can be considered that they're causing the Beis Mikdash to remain destroyed, and therefore the Gemara is going to say, therefore that's why the Gemara is saying that they're getting such a severe punishment. But nevertheless, we're still saying, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that as we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that even for them, there is maybe a way out, and perhaps what we were bringing from the Rebbe before in that letter, that even such people, maybe there is eventually, that the Eibishter arranges, lo yudach men or nidach, that somehow or other, there is a source that can be found even for them. That's the thing. So the Aruch HaNer makes the point that if now the Beis Mikdash is being built, it's as if it's being destroyed right now, and therefore, so people do this that are causing the Beis Mikdash, preventing it from being built, then yeah, then, yeah. Okay. Yon Yer Mashiach Ge'ula. What is today? Today is Tazayin Adar Aleph, yeah. La'asid lavo, the Yetzer Hara is going to be bottled, as we know it says, Vesruach HaTumma Avim in Aretz, and the glory of Hashem is going to be revealed in the whole world to the point where, as the Medrash says, you're going to have, for example, a fig tree is going to scream out on Shabbos, don't pick me, don't pick for me. So therefore, at a time like that, it's going to be impossible for there to be an Aveda, even B'Shegig, the same way as a baby, even a baby won't stick his hand into a fire, or an animal that has no das at all won't jump into a fire, the same way it'll be so obvious that an Aveda is like that, so the person will almost naturally, almost instinctively stay away from it. Okay, continuing with halachas of Shabbos. You have something, sometimes you have food where you can't eat it unless you wash it or rinse it off. So then the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says you would be also to do that on Shabbos, even in cold water, not a matter of cooking, but it's a matter of preparing it. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe holds that it would be mutter. Now, for example, a herring, he says you would be allowed to, sometimes you have a herring that's too salty and you can't eat it, that you can soak in cold water because you could eat it before that. Some people will eat the herring even with all the salt, so therefore it's not like you're being stuck in something that was completely inedible before that. Then he continues, for example, you have various kinds of dips where you need to put vinegar in them. So then if you're going to put vinegar in them on Shabbos, you have to do it with a shinui. For example, first you put in the vinegar and then you put in the horseradish or the mustard or whatever it is. And then you also have to make it a very thin mixture and not mix it with a spoon, only mix it with your finger or shake the container. All of that is in order to make a shinui so that you're not making it the way that you would do it on a regular day.